Blog Talk Radio.
It's time to start.
All right, welcome to The Balance Gridiron. My name's Tom Marquis, El Presidente. So glad that you could join us here on a Saturday morning. Well, what we're going to do today, because we've got a lot going on, and a lot of times we'll do this, is we will rebroadcast a previous show for that week. So what we did is we taped and broadcast live The Balance Gridiron on Thursday night from 7 to 9 p.m. Now, you won't be able to call in today. But we certainly hope that you enjoy the rebroadcast of the Balanced Gridiron from September the 29th, this past Thursday. Again, this is a rebroadcast from September the 29th, 2011.
Blog Talk Radio.
There is a legend of two men out on the sports prairie. Two lonesome men that can wrap up the last 24 hours of sports for you. It is the legend of El Presidente and his faithful sidekick, $2 Bill Josh. It is the legend of the Balance Wrap-Up, and that legend continues today.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
So glad that you could join us. We've got 2 hours jam-packed of just the best sports talk that you can possibly handle. We're going to talk Notre Dame. We've obviously got the playoffs, and we've got the MLB playoffs to talk about as well. And we've got, of course, our game of the week. The Wisconsin Badgers and the Nebraska Cornhuskers. And, of course, we've got a visit from Jimmy the Intern scheduled. We're going to break down some IU football, Gary Snyder, and we're going to break down some Notre Dame and Purdue action. We've got a lot of stuff going on. Plus, I'm going to talk more about the Indianapolis Colts if you're tired of hearing it. And coming up here in about 15 minutes, we have the Fantasy Football Huddle. So make sure that you stay tuned right here. And when we get back, I'm sure that we'll be joined by Mr. $2 Bill Josh. We'll get this party started.
Welcome to another episode of The Wrap-Up, a production of The Balance. Join Tom and $2 Bill Josh as they wrap.
I hopped off the plane at LAX with a dream, my cardigan.
Today's consumer spends 1.4 times as many hours using social networking sites than reading and responding to email. Marquee Solutions works with your company to build a solid social strategy. They are with you from start to finish, always there to help you navigate through the complexities of social media. Call Marquee Solutions today, 317-903-8063. That's 317-903-8063. Marquee Solutions, work with them today.
All right, welcome back to the Balance Gridiron. My name's Tom Marquis, El Presidente, and joining me, as usual, is the official co-host of the Balance Gridiron, Mr. $2 Bill Josh. Josh, how are we doing today?
I'm doing great, Tom. It's always an honor to be in your presence, seeing how me and nobody else in the media is worthy.
Well, that brings us to point number one on today's agenda of the Balanced Gridiron. Josh, we're going to start something new this week. It's called The Rant. You get your rant at the beginning, I get my rant at the end. So, Josh, without further ado, bring us the first $2 bill rant.
Hi, here's what I want to rant about this week. All week long, I've turned on sports talk, I've turned on the local news, I've read the newspaper. Seems like Curtis Painter done stole something, done killed somebody, done robbed a bank. I mean, come on, Colts fans. Really? You really want to say that you want Kerry Collins back in the game over Curtis Painter? Kerry Collins, who seems to think the ball belongs in the carpet, seems to think wide receivers are meant to catch football with their feet. Now, I'll give you credit. Curtis Painter may not have been the best quarterback. He may not be Peyton Manning. He may not even be Mark Sanchez. What Curtis Painter is basically a rookie. Now everybody says it's his third year in the league. True. He's played in three regular season games. He's never prepared to be the starter in a regular season game. He's never got the starter's workload in practice. But every single time that Curtis Painter's been asked if he's winning the game, he's performed the best he can. Usually it's been with backup players like Blair White. No offense to Blair White, but when you're the best wide receiver on the field, the quarterback must not have much to work with. So this week, Curtis Painter, he knows he's going to start on Monday. He's got the starter snaps in practice. Give the kid a break. He has world of potential. Reggie Wayne believes in him. Dallas Clark believes in him. Pierre Garçon believes in him. Tony Dungy believes in him. And I believe Dungy might have been the coach when he was picked, or it might have been the first draft, one of the first draft picks after Dungy left. That being said, we cannot look at 13 minutes of football action and determine that a guy is not a worthy NFL quarterback. So why don't we cut the guy some slack, see what he can do when he knows he's going to start a game, see what he can do when he gets a full week of practice, see what he can do when he has shows to Adai and DeLon Carter and the starters in the game with him. Who knows? He might not be Peyton Manning, but he can't be as bad as Kerry Collins. He might be as good as Carson Palmer. Or he might be a total bust. My point is, how do you know what he is when you haven't given the kid a chance to prove anything? Last Sunday in the fourth quarter, rather, the Colts are down 20-13. Sure, everybody wants to talk about he overthrew Pierre Garçon in the end zone. I would, too, if I just came in the game. We were down 20-13 to the Pittsburgh Steelers. I just got my clock cleaned by Troy Polamalu, I would be a little nervous too. But as soon as he saw the offensive line could block for him, Joseph Addai was still Addai, he calmed down. He led us on an 80-yard touchdown drive. I say, let's see what Curtis Painter is all about. What do you say, Tom?
Well, you know what, and I have absolutely preached that Curtis Painter deserves an opportunity and deserves a chance, and as it stands now, it looks like that he's going to get that chance, and so we'll see what happens. You know, I have been the guy that has said, you know, hey, let's not be so hard on Curtis Painter, and let's allow him the opportunity to develop in practice and see what happens from there. So we certainly want to make sure that we do that. Now, the Colts have a very, very good game coming up here on Monday night against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Two back-to-back primetime games. Josh, what did the Colts have to do to beat the Tampa Bay Buccaneers?
They need to continue to get some inspired play out of their defense. They need to run the ball a little bit more. I don't know if anybody else but me has noticed. I'm sure Tom's noticed. I'm sure it's Philip B. Wilson, who I wish we were going to have on the show tonight. But hopefully he'll be back next week. Because, no, the show to Addai looks like the Addai from 2005, 2006, 2007. He's running hard. Last week he hit a guy in the face mask because he was trying to tackle him with his knee. Another point in time, it appeared he jumped over a guy who was trying to tackle him. DeLon Carter, I call him the mini bus because he's like 5'10", 220 pounds. Colts are getting solid play out of their running game. Their defense came to play. And, yes, we have some sad news to report with Melvin Bullitt and Gary Brackett. They're being out. I love Gary Brackett. Don't get anything wrong. Don't get me wrong. I love Gary Brackett. He's a great player. He's been a great role model and a team captain. Anybody notice Pat Ingram had 20 tackles last week? What do you think, Tom? Is Anger an upgrade over Bracky, or is he just a solid fill-in?
Well, both. I think he's not really necessarily an upgrade by any stretch of the imagination. Let's look at it quite frankly. Yes, that was a fantastic game. And yes, Pat Anger deserves all the props in the world. But let's not go naming our children after him or anything. I mean, he had a good game. But at this point, I don't know that he's did anything to say that he's any better than Brackett whatsoever. But certainly stepped up to the plate and certainly filled his role. And you know, like I said last week, let's make sure that we give the Indianapolis Colts 100% A grade for a effort, especially on the defensive part, against the Pittsburgh Steelers. And Curtis Painter. Curtis Painter gave us the most consistent touchdown run for the Colts that I believe that they've had all season, Josh.
I absolutely agree. That was our best drive of the season, and I still say, and I've seen this replay, the fumble three times, Troy Polamalu was offside. If he gets that penalty, he does turn the ball over. And I don't know what you think, Tom. I'm curious to see what you think, curious to see what Superfan thinks. I thought the Colts' offense calmed down when Curtis Painter came into the game. With Kerry Collins, it seems they're a bit jittery. They're a bit unsure where the football's going to be. Large part of that's because Kerry Collins only completing 28% of his passes. But, Tom, did you think they calmed down when Painter came in?
Well, here's the thing. I think Painter is starting to develop a good chemistry with the players, and I think that chemistry is not something that is created in immediate small period of time. It's something that's created over time, and once that chemistry is created and gelled, I think yes, the players are much more comfortable with the quarterback, and I think that's exactly what we saw with Curtis Painter. He has had a few years on the bench. He's had a few years in the locker room. He's had a few years on the practice field, on the plane. He's had a lot of opportunity to gel with these receivers and offensive linemen. And I think, yeah, you're absolutely right. I think only natural that they were more relaxed than they have been. Well, we certainly got a lot to cover right here on the Balance Gridiron. My name's Tom Marquis, El Presidente, and so glad that you could join us. And I tell you what, we got something else going on in another sport, MLB. ML, it's that time of year, boys and girls, with a fall classic starting to take some shape. And yesterday, last night, if you are a baseball fan or if you weren't a baseball fan, wow, I'll repeat it, just wow. After a five-hour madness that was Wednesday night, the MLB playoffs have a lot to live up to. Baseball fans just witnessed, I tell you what, the largest September collapse in baseball history, both which culminated in last inning losses in to fall one game short of the wild card. At least the Braves' extra inning loss was to the MLB's best Philadelphia Phillies. But the Red Sox playoffs? Are you kidding me, Josh? Josh, I'm going to let you pick it up from here. What happened with your Boston Red Sox last night out there against those Baltimore Orioles?
What happened last night was the Orioles have been struggling all season long. We haven't looked that good at any point in time this year. Well, maybe during the summer we looked good, but when it got to be September, we were up 9 games. We relaxed. We took the foot off the gas pedal. We totally relaxed. It wasn't until September that Red Sox fans could really see something wasn't right with the Red Sox. There's chemistry problems in the locker room, which is a shame because we have great players, but great players sometimes can't play with other great players. And I know a lot of fans are going to go, well, LeBron, he's another example. LeBron James and Carmelo Anthony could play together. Not necessarily. Just because you're two great players doesn't mean you can gel with each other. Chemistry might actually be more important in baseball than talent. You cannot make the playoffs based on chemistry, but you can miss the playoffs based on chemistry. But as a Red Sox fan, I hope the rumors I hear today aren't true, that they're going to totally clean everybody out of the front office, the management staff, cut, slice, and dice the roster, bring out a whole new team next year. Let's not overreact. Terry Francona has won his two World Series. We've been to the playoffs 7 times under. We missed the playoffs the last 2 years, mainly because of injuries and this year chemistry problems. But, Tom, what do you think is more important, talent or chemistry, or are they equally important?
Well, I think, obviously, if you don't have talent, you're not going to be in a situation to promote chemistry. So I think you've got to have both. But obviously, talent gets you there, but chemistry is what makes it continue to happen and is what makes it consistent. All right, guys, you're listening to the Balanced Gridiron. So glad that you could join us. We're about 5 minutes away from the Fantasy Football Huddle. And I tell you what, we always enjoy taking your calls. 917, write this number down, 917-889-8516 for the Fantasy Football Huddle. Myself and Josh and our fantasy football panel, we'll just call him Chad, the Noah, the guy that knows everything there is to know about fantasy football, will be up here at 7:15 as well to break down the fantasy football huddle. That's right. I am El Presidente, the head dictator in charge of this show. That said, Josh, you know, you're the one that gave me that nickname, El Presidente. Our fans are probably saying, man, that's a bit egotistic of you, you know, but hey, once you're given a nickname, it cannot be taken away, much like yours, $2 Bill, Josh. It cannot be taken away. So I am the El Presidente in charge. So, you know, that's just the way it is. Josh, you know, we need to get some cheerleaders for the show. I'm going to put you in charge of that. Any of our listeners out there that want to be cheerleaders for the show and want some balanced pom-poms, let us know. We'll let you do a halftime show and everything, Josh. What do you think?
That does sound good, but I have a perfect nickname for Chad because you're right. He knows everything. Why don't we call him the godfather of the Colts? Because there's nothing about the Indianapolis Colts or the Baltimore Colts that he doesn't seem to know.
Oh, absolutely, Chad. And he'll be joining us here in the Fantasy Football Huddle here in just about 3 more minutes. And later on in the show, and keep in mind, guys, there's another team that we haven't talked about that's going to come together in the last hour. Really, I want to point out a housekeeping thing real quick. Our stream, for those of you that are listening to our stream, will end in about 45 minutes. And now you'll be able to go back to the website or on iTunes and pick that up. When you're doing a national broadcast, sometimes the streams have to come together at the right time. And typically, for those of you that listen to us all the time, know that we have the wrap up on Thursday nights when we don't do the 2 hour live show. So our 2 hour live show basically we kind of got pushed back a little bit on the stream. So our stream will end in 45 minutes, but guys, don't worry about it. You can catch the full show on www.thebalanceonline.com. Now, our live listeners and our listeners that are across the United States and of different affiliate radio stations, you guys are fine. But if you're listening to us on Blog Talk Radio via a stream, then our stream will end in about 45 minutes. But just keep in mind, at about 10 o'clock Eastern, you should be able to download it from iTunes or on go to the Blog Talk Radio site and hit the thing. But you won't be able to listen to the live stream. Well, Josh, when we get back, we're going to start breaking down fantasy football. It's getting that time of year where you've got to look at some injury reports. CBS sent me. And I was telling you this a little bit off mic, Josh. CBS sent me the soundbite for the injury report, but for whatever reason, the link was broke, and I was unable to get that. So we'll talk about some injuries, but we won't be able to have our normal CBS injury report brought to us as far as that goes. When we get back, like I said, we're going to dive right into Fantasy Football Huddle. Make sure that you have your questions ready to go, 917-889-8516, and we'll be ready to go when we get right back right here on on Blog Talk Radio. Josh, it's going to be an exciting time, don't you think? Well, okay, Josh, maybe our commercials aren't working. Yeah, like I said, it is absolutely going to be one of those. One of those. It's raining outside. Can we blame it on that? I'm not sure. We'll be right back on Blog Talk Radio.
It's time to start.
Fastlane Cycles Incorporated, located at 100 Gasoline Alley Suite D in Indianapolis, specializes in quality performance for your bike. A distributor for all major suppliers, we can do everything from service and motor work to customizations and insurance estimates. Give us a call at 317-247-8088. Fastlane Cycles Incorporated at 317-247.
Today's consumer spends 1.4 times as many hours using social networking sites than reading and responding to email. Marquee Solutions works with your company to build a solid social strategy. They are with you from start to finish, always there to help you navigate through the complexities of social media. Call Marquee Solutions today, 317-903-8063. That's 317-903-8063. Marquee Solutions, work with them today.
All right, and welcome back to the Balance. Balance Gridiron. Josh, I am absolutely going to fire whoever it is that's running our soundboard today. I'm going to fire him. Any suggestions on who his replacement should be? I have no idea, guys. I get everything ready to go. We do all kinds of prep. And then at the last minute, Josh, there's just something that happens that keeps us from moving exactly on plan and on target. And the only thing the stream is messed up, the soundboard is messed up, but one thing that isn't messed up, it's time for Fantasy Football Huddle.
You like that, don't you?
It's about to be a lot of fun today.
Only guy who knows everything there is to know about fantasy football, Chad, the godfather of fantasy football. How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I am doing good, Chad. So glad that you could join us on a Thursday evening. We're coast to coast right here on Blog Talk Radio. So glad that you could jump in on our stream part of it. And be a part of Fantasy Football Huddle. Well, we've got a lot to break down. One thing, Chad, and I know you know everything there is to know about the Indianapolis Colts, so we want to make sure that we pick your brain on that real quickly, and Josh, you're with us as well. But, Chad, what is going on over there on West 56th Street?
Well, all I know is Tony Dungy is not the coach anymore, and people don't speak with the same singular voice anymore. So it seems like these things never happen with Dungy at the helm. And whenever you ask different players the same question, it was always one voice that you heard, one answer you heard. And I guess it's going to take some time for the players to get used to this losing thing too. So Yeah, so it's. I think the coaches finally realized that they're going to have to coach harder, and so it's not going to come easy, and God help Curtis Painter.
What do you think that we're in the Curtis Painter era, or do you think this is just a...
Again, this is a rebroadcast of September 29th, 2011. This is Fantasy Football Huddle. We will not be taking any calls during this broadcast, as this is a rebroadcast from September 29th, 2011. But it does still, you can still use any advice that's used in today's show for this weekend in fantasy football. Welcome to The Balance, and here's the rebroadcast of September 29th, 2011.
Terry Collins, because I know fans like you don't like Curtis Painter, and the coaches and management probably made a miscalculation on Terry Collins. He's nowhere close to the 2008 Terry Collins, and I think Curtis Painter gives us a better chance, having taken more reps than usual with the first-team offense in training camp.
Josh, anything for Chad on the Colts real quick before we start diving into fantasy football?
Well, I don't know if you got a chance to go to the game against the Steelers, but I would say on Sunday night, it seemed like beginning of the game, the fans were still behind Kerry Collins, and it seemed like they started to turn on him. But now today there's a rumor, and I don't know how true it is, that the Colts are considering trading for Tim Tebow. Would you consider that a wise investment, or are you like me and think that would be a dumb move?
That'd be a dumb move. I mean, for the offense that we have, a pocket passer would still be the best way to go. And if you want a pocket passer, the draft, upcoming draft, is strong in quarterback, cornerback, and wide receiver. So cornerback, wide receiver, quarterback, all positions we need, to be honest with you. All positions we need. As much as we think we have depth at wide receiver, the depth is more in the slot wide receiver, and if Gonzo is gone, again, Reggie Wayne not having the speed he had before, we need outside wide receivers again. And you also have to think about not just Peyton at quarterback. How easy was it for Matthew Stafford to have Calvin Johnson at wide receiver? I mean, any new quarterback would love to have weapons around him. So you got to think for the future, too. So with the quarterback class being much more pocket passer-oriented, I don't see any reason to even consider Tim Tebow at this point, who is still a project and who will be a project for a couple more years.
All right, guys, it's time to jump into the huddle here. If you guys got a call question for myself or Mr. Chad, Chad, we're going to just call you the godfather of fantasy football. I'm just going to call you the god. We're just going to call you Axel. Isn't that your name on fantasy football? Isn't that your team name?
Axel. Yep.
We're going to start calling you Axel. I'm going to get that for next week or the weekend, next time that you can join us, I'm going to have that Eddie Murphy theme song. You know,
awesome.
That's going to be your new theme song. So if you got a question for Axel, Dollar Bill, Josh, or myself about your fantasy football team, who to play, who not to play, give us a call, 917-889-8516, and we'll be able to break it down. Now, Chad, I know that you played me, and I lost. So tell me a little bit about what you saw across the fantasy football world, and you gave me a tip on a player, and I took advantage of that tip, but I know you're always scoping other teams, all the different positions. So just give us a rundown of what you think happened in the fantasy football world in week number three.
Well, week number three, I realized that in PPR leagues, there is somebody other than Mike Wallace on the Steelers wide receiver corp. His name is Antonio Brown. He has been getting many more looks. The last two games, he's been having 70-plus yards and four-plus receptions. So he would, and he had a terrific preseason, but he started off the regular season with bad chemistry with Big Ben. So everybody is touting Emmanuel Sanders as the guy after Mike Wallace on the depth chart, but it looks like Big Ben is converting more first downs and looking more Antonio Brown's way And Antonio Brown might not be a bad pickup in PPR leagues. Not just, I'm not talking a traditional league. He still might lag behind on the touchdown department, but PPR leagues is definitely a good investment. And Buffalo Bills, I mean, good God, I mean, it's like, what the weird part of this season is the Colts run offense and run defense have improved vastly. And Colts are one of the few teams that have a fullback, which we have clamored for years, while most of the other teams in the NFL do not even have a fullback on their roster. I mean, that's how much passing-oriented the league has become. And when you see Buffalo Bills running four wide receiver sets with stacked formations on either side, you're thinking, like, man, everything that the Colts and Peyton Manning invented or Tom Moore invented, it's like the whole league has adopted it. And it's like everybody's going no huddle. It's like everybody's got a receiving tight end with Clark was one of the trendsetters. And then now you have Jimmy Graham, Jermichael Finley, and the Pats tight ends. I mean, the Pats tight ends were drafted mainly almost like to mimic what the Colts have. But Gronkowski is a beast. I mean, he can do both. He can block as well as catch. Gronkowski is the biggest surprise for this year, having produced at the same level as last year. So,
well, we definitely want to make sure that we break down into all the different positions. Also, want to say hello to our listeners out in Canby, Indiana, who's just logged on, and thank you for giving us a listen. And you're on Fantasy Football Huddle. If you've got a question, give us a call, 917-889-8516. Myself and the godfather of fantasy football, Mr. Axel here, will try to answer your questions as well as $2 Bill Josh. All right, Josh, let's start it off. Last week we didn't get a chance to get to all the defenses and the tight ends and stuff, so let's start there with the defense. Josh, who'd you have as a defense last week? Who you got this week?
Well, I have the New York Jets defense in the league that I pay the most attention to, and I'm going to stick with the New York Jets defense. They didn't look that good against the Oakland Raiders. My question for you, Chad, and I have struggled with this all week, is the Jets defense really that bad, or is Oakland just that good?
Well, it's the Jets defensive line. If you noticed, Muhammad Wilkerson was drafted in round one, and they got the, from Kendrick Ellis from Hampton. Two big guys they got for the middle. You know, the defensive tackle and the defensive line is one of the hardest positions for a rookie to play. And they are going to have some growing pains out there. So, you know, Cromartie and Revis may be great coverage corners, but Cromartie has known to be a slouch off on run defense, even at the Chargers. So the run support from the cornerback position is not going to be that great for the Jets. So when they encounter a good running team and you have two rookies on the defensive line, that is when the Jets are going to have more problems. And the Ravens, I mean, they're just going to try the same thing that the Raiders did. Try to pound it. They got a good offensive line, and they're just going to try to capitalize on the rookies on the defensive line. I know the linebacker corps for the Jets is a good one, an experienced one, but then if they're on the field for too long, there's only so much that age can hold up. The defensive line is always your first line of defense. So I think letting go of Sean Ellis chose to go with the Patriots from the Jets, and having those two rookies on the defensive line, it's going to take some time for them to gel. It's not going to happen overnight, especially at the defensive line. So,
all right, guys, we want to take your questions. Give us a call, 917-889-8516. Dayton, Ohio, you've logged in. So glad that you're listening to us coast to coast. Yuma, Arizona, nice to have you out there, as well as also Marines from Camp Lejeune, North Carolina. Always good to have servicemen on the air with us. So give us a call, 917-889-8516. and myself or Mr. Axel will absolutely be able to give you a call. All right, Chad. Last week I started in my other league the Baltimore Ravens defense. Turned out to be pretty good. What are your thoughts about them on an overall scheme, or do you just think that was a good game, a good week? And tell us about your defense you've got this week, and Josh, tell us about your defense this week.
Well, Baltimore Ravens defense, I mean, they have their struggles versus good passing teams. And unless they can have just one wide receiver to focus on, any team that spreads it around is going to give those linebackers some fits, because not all of them are great coverage linebackers. So that's going to be the whole game. Any team with a good offensive line and passing attack is going to give the Ravens fits. But the offensive lines of the Rams or the 49ers, I mean, the NFC West, I mean, whenever you have a matchup versus the NFC West, you have to take it out. So playing the NFC West is hardly a good gauge right now for a team, but it'll definitely produce fantasy points. So from a fantasy perspective, don't miss out on an NFC West matchup. So,
Josh?
I would absolutely agree with that. I think the Ravens have a good defense, but Ray Lewis is getting a little old. Ed Reed's getting a little old. And I dropped the New York Jets this week and picked up the Chicago Bears. They're playing the Carolina Panthers, and that's kind of a tricky situation because Cam Newton seems to be a fantasy point machine, and he's also my fantasy quarterback on that team. But I think the Bears will have a pretty good week against the Panthers. I just think Cam Newton's due to have a letdown game.
Okay, well, let's dive into some tight end action. Now, there's a lot of good tight ends out there, and one of the things that that a lot of teams are using, and obviously the Colts included when it comes to Dallas Clark, the tight ends are not only blockers as much as they used to be, but they're also slot receivers, and a lot of times can be used in the position of a wide receiver. So we've got some great tight ends out there. Tony Gonzalez, Winslow, Dustin Keller, Devon Breeze, but actually he's more of a wide receiver. He is a wide receiver, but I've noticed that they played him in the tight end position as well. But really some of your key ones, obviously Dallas Clark, number 44 with Indianapolis. Now, I'm kind of the cautious guy. I kind of like right now with all the uncertainty that's going on with Indianapolis, not that Dallas Clark cannot get you fantasy points, but I think, and you guys might want to chime in on this, guys like Dallas Clark and guys that are like with Kansas City Chiefs, those tight ends are ones you might want to just not play unless they're playing a very, very weak defense. Would you agree?
Yep. I mean, you got to understand whenever you have a quarterback just getting used to his first start or getting used to a new system like Kerry Collins, the tendency is to go to the safer throws, and safer throws normally go to the outside. Nobody can thread the seam routes like Peyton Manning can. I mean, the seam routes is one of his specialty. I mean, after Peyton, probably Drew Brees and Tom Brady and Rodgers. That's it. I mean, those are the main ones I can see threading the needle on seam routes. So those seam routes take a lot of timing, a lot of work with your slot wideouts, and that is why anybody new to a system normally tends to go to the outside wideouts. So that's why I expect Painter, till he gets more reps and more starts under his belt, to at least start going towards Wayne and Garcon more, and then gradually they'll work his way to more looks and touches for Collie and Clark. So we'll just have to monitor that situation more, and that's what I think will happen at the Colts, and especially now that they're running better. Safe throws to the outside and run the ball. So you have two wide receivers on the outside. Let them work after the catch. So,
Josh?
I would absolutely have to agree with that. Now, my starting wide receiver tight end is Owen Daniels. I'd like to see Matt Schaub down in Houston utilize Owen Daniels a little bit more, especially against the Pittsburgh Steelers, as they appeared to be somewhat weak, or they would have been somewhat weak against Dallas Clark if Kerry Collins could have got Clark the football. in the middle of the field. I look for Owen Daniels to have between 5 and 7 catches, 50 to 80 yards, maybe a couple touchdowns against the Steelers. He may not, but I could see that happening pretty easy.
Yeah, that new KC guy for the Texans, he's an interesting matchup because he's big like a fullback, and they use him in, as an H-back in several situations. And he can run like a tight end and make catches versus linebackers too. So it will be interesting how Kubiak uses him, and usage of KC might actually affect Owen Daniels' looks and touches. So.
Okay, well, now let me ask you this, guys. Who do you – now, in your particular league, I know that, Axel, you and I we're in one league together, and Josh, you and I are in the balance league together. So what – a lot of it depends on the type of league that you have. So as we move into some of these more important – well, not the ones less important than the other, but when we move into the wide receivers and the running backs and the quarterbacks, which are your core point, who you get your most points from, what kind of strategy do you guys look at when setting your lineup for the next week?
Well, I mean, you have to look for – I mean, if you have a running back who gives you catches and runs, and that gives you more chances to score, even if the defense is a good defense versus the run, or if it's a blitzing defense, most of the time they'll leave a running back out of the flat. So he has a great chance of getting catches and making somebody miss out in the open. So the running backs who can run and catch, like an Ahmad Bradshaw or LeSean McCoy, those guys, I mean, it's like if you have them, you got to play them every time in your lineup, regardless of the matchup. I mean, so, and the same thing with Maurice Jones-Drew, too. He can catch and he can run. I mean, so the versatility is number one for running backs. Wide receivers, I mean, it can be wide receivers normally are a product of the running backs. So what I mean is basically when the running back, I mean the run defense of a team is terrible and they have good coverage corners and somebody keeps pounding at them and a wide receiver might be the recipient of one big reception and but the running back will be the recipient of more touches. So you just have to kind of look at how bad the run defense is. If it's a defense that is generous to both the run and the pass, yeah, play both. Or don't worry about the wide receiver or running back. Play both of them. But if it's extremely skewed towards the run defense, for example, any running back versus the Colts, people will play it in years past. Whereas wide receivers, it was much harder to get touchdowns out of wide receivers versus the Colts when Ron Meeks was coaching, if you remember those years. So you have to kind of play off of that. I mean, good teams will make you bend and break. So teams that play bend and break defense, they will make you bend. They'll get the yards as running backs, and once they get close to the end zone, they'll punch it in as well. So, but as long as the fantasy points per game is ranking is not skewed to one side run defense or the pass defense being terrible, then you should be able to play running backs and wide receivers. But if it is skewed, then you have to think if you have better choices.
Okay, Josh, what's your strategy on putting together a running back, wide receiver positions on your lineups?
Mine's quite a bit like Chet's. Actually, it's almost identical, except I maybe look at, you know, in years past, the Colts looked at their wide receivers quite a bit. And not that they haven't this year, but Joseph Addai, DeLon Carter have been more productive than maybe the wide receivers have been, so you got to take that into consideration too. And also you got to look at the defense they're playing.
All right, see, here's the way I look at things. The first thing that I do every week is I look at the injury lineup. And Chad, you played me this past week. You kind of sent me a message during the game. Said afraid of the old beanie injury. Now, see, I'm very conservative, and maybe that ends up costing me games because I don't take some risks that I should have. I don't remember exactly what Beanie Wells scored, but I didn't play him based on a probability. I am not a probability risk taker. I am not a if they have not made the decision by game day, I'm probably not going to play them. That's just my way of being safe. For example, I like Josh Freeman, although in one of my leagues I have a Josh Freeman and Ryan Fitzpatrick. So right now, obviously, I'm playing Ryan Fitzpatrick. But Josh Freeman will get me steady, consistent points every single week. And they're playing the Colts on Monday, so chances are I will play Josh Freeman in this week, against the Colts. But one of the things I look at very, very closely is the injury update. And we typically have our injury update that we play here at the beginning. We just don't have our sound bite. But, injuries, I think, play a very vital role, even if it's an injury. For example, if I had Tony Romo, great game he had this past week, I wouldn't have played Tony Romo just because of all the injuries that he had. So how much does injury come into a play factor? Now, I'm not talking about those that are obviously out. I'm talking about the probables, the maybes, the game time decisions, guys like Michael Vick, guys like Tony Romo, and situations like that. What are your thought processes when going to play those type of players, Josh and Axel? What are your thoughts on those?
Well, Michael Vick, you had to worry about him getting injured during the game more than across games. Whereas Tony Romo, I mean, it depends on the kind of injury. If it is an injury to a shoulder for a quarterback, that's different than injury to the leg or ankle or knees or something like that. In this case, ribs and all this stuff, plus the defense, kind of defense. I mean, Redskins' defense is a good pass defense. Even with Miles Austin, they probably score probably about 24 or something. And that's basically, but without Miles Austin, I mean, it's like you have to look at the supporting cast that he has and the front seven that the opposing defense has. And so basically, there's only so much. I mean, if Peyton Manning has a neck injury, I mean, you got to make your checks and do your head fakes and all that stuff. I mean, you got to worry about all that. So that's how I look at it. It's the kind of injury that and the kind of defense he's going against and what is supporting cast. I mean, it's not just his injury because look at Reggie Wayne. He was almost every time throughout the Super Bowl year, he almost had some injury. So just based on his injury, I mean, you don't shy away from playing him because he's a gamer. He just comes up and shows and he plays. Whether he's consistently productive or not, he knows at least he needs to be there as a decoy. That's basically, you just need to know the history of the players.
All right, real quickly, Josh, and then we're going to have to wrap up the huddle this week, and obviously we'll have and also I want to remind you guys, if you're listening to us on our Blog Talk Radio stream, there's about 15 minutes left of that stream, but don't worry about it. Our show will be on all of our affiliate stations. You're good to go across the nation, but because of the fact that we're having to pre-record this show to re-air on Saturday, now you'll be able to hear the full show on Saturday for our Blog Talk Radio listeners. So if you lose us in about 15 minutes, that's why. But about 10 o'clock Eastern, go back onto iTunes or the website, www.thebalanceonline.com, and you can hear the whole show. And as well as Saturday morning between 9 and 11, we will be running the replay of this program as well. And sometimes, depending on our game schedule and stuff, I know, Josh, you're headed out to a wedding in Dayton. And I am going to be going to the Notre Dame-Purdue game. So I'm going to be getting prepped for that, even though it's in the evening game. A lot of stuff going on in one day, which is why. So if you're wondering about what happens with the stream in about 15 minutes, that's what's going on. Okay, real quickly, guys, key quarterbacks, who to start? We got about 60 seconds apiece. Go ahead, Axel.
I'd take a hard look at Rex Grossman at St. Louis. As much as he struggled versus the Cowboys, Rob Ryan defense, it's not going to be the same struggle versus the Rams pass-friendly. So he's probably available in most waiver wires. So I would take a long, hard look if he's available and play him for this matchup.
I would take a long, hard look at Sam Bradford because I'm not sold on the Washington Redskins defense, Tom Brady. And I'm going to go ahead and say it. If you have a comfortable lead or an easy game, go ahead and take a look at Curtis Painter. I believe he's going to have a really big game on Sunday, or Monday, rather.
All right, guys. Well, that's going to wrap it up real quickly with my quarterbacks. I am definitely you want to look at this Ryan Fitzpatrick situation. We don't really have time to jump into the conversation with them about him, but what a good surprise he's been. I say ride him until the end. Although I do have Josh Freeman, like I said, I probably in one league will go ahead and play Josh Freeman just because they're playing the Indianapolis Colts and the defense I'm not incredibly sold on. But that, again, is a game-time decision for me. And the other league, I will most definitely go with Philip Rivers. Guys, when we get back, we've got Colts Superfan, and we've got Evan, the Purdue blogger, is going to break down the Purdue-Notre Dame game for us. Axel, we'll see you next time. So glad that
you
could join us today on the huddle.
My pleasure. Bye.
Do you like what you hear on the Balance and Fantasy Football Huddle? Then check us out on the World Wide Web. Facebook, search The Balance. Twitter, GBalance. You can also send us an email at gbalance@ymail.com. And at any time, check us out on www.thebalanceonline.com.
Message to any surviving Autobots taking refuge among the stars. We are here. We are waiting.
Gridiron. Certainly want to make sure that we welcome all of our new sponsors, and one of our new sponsors is Dominion Home Builders of Indiana. Winter is rapidly approaching and time is running out to get that much needed work done on your home. Got a leaky roof or storm damage? Call Dominion Home Builders at 317-523-8414. DHB is honest, top-notch general contractor serving central Indiana. Call them today, 317-523-8414. That's 317-523-8414. Or online, www.dhbindiana.com. Dominion Home Builders, structurally sound and distinguished by excellence. All right, guys, welcome back to the Balanced Gridiron. Alongside me is Mr. $2 Bill Josh. And also, Evan, the blogger from Purdue and super Colts fan. We know you're there. We're going to get to you right here in just a quick second. But we, Evan, are you with us?
I'm here, Tom.
All right. So glad that you could join us. I know that I wanted to give you ample time to talk some Purdue Notre Dame. It's a big game. And last time we had you on, the clock kind of ran out on us. So I promised you that you would have the first word when it comes to Purdue and when you were able to join us again, and I am so glad that you could join us, and Josh is with us as well. Super Colts fan, I know that you're with us too, and I promise you we're going to get to you in just a second, so just stay on the line with us. So, Evan, big game, your Super Bowl of the year, technically, theoretically. Notre Dame's been struggling in their own right. Purdue and Notre Dame. Tell us, break us down, what are your thoughts on this game?
Everyone on campus is very excited for the game. It's a huge game, night game, going to be on ESPN. And, of course, the rivalry between Purdue and Notre Dame goes way back. I think that it's going to be a close game just because of the atmosphere, everything, the night game. And it seems the players are all really excited about the game, and they've been preparing. And it was nice because Purdue had the off week last weekend, so they've had time to rest up and really prepare for the Irish.
Okay. Well, one of the things, and Gary Snyder will be on here a little bit after the top of the hour to break down some of the Notre Dame action on the Notre Dame side of the game, and I will be there, and I've had an opportunity to be at every Purdue home game so far this year and really enjoyed being on the sidelines with Purdue. Great wins that they've been able to pull off. Certainly a fantastic win that they had 52-0. And that was a fantastic win as well on their last contest there. Josh, do you have any questions about Purdue Notre Dame game for Evan?
Actually, it's not so much a question as it is a prediction, and I'm sure Evan's heard a lot of this too. All week long, people's talking about how this should be an easy win for Notre Dame moving forward. They should move past Purdue rather easily. I'm actually going to say Purdue wins this game by 2 touchdowns. Notre Dame struggles to hold on to the football. I'm anxious to see what Evan has to say, but I'd rather have Caleb Kerbush over Dane Christ or Tommy Rees any day of the week. I think Purdue has a better quarterback play. They're at home. They're at night. They're tired of being disrespected. They're finally getting the taste of winning in their mouth, and they have a lot more momentum coming in this game than Notre Dame does.
Evan, do you have any? Okay.
I agree. I think Purdue has an edge at quarterback. Caleb Kerbush has been really solid this season. He's only got one interception on the season, whereas Rees has 6 so far. He's had some troubles with throwing the ball away. I think Purdue is in a better position at quarterback with Kerbush calling the snaps.
Okay, now, Evan, you write a blog called Bleeding Gold and Black. Really, it's a fantastic blog, guys. I encourage you to go out there anytime and check that out. I believe it's at bleedinggoldandblack.blogspot.com. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay. Now, you have your blog that you wrote on Wednesday, the 28th, which was yesterday. You said the stage is set, the lights are being put up, and we cannot wait for a Saturday when Broilers face off against the Irish under the lights. It's exciting to have a night game, but do you think that Purdue will ever have permanent lights?
I really can't tell. I mean, I think part of the Purdue football experience is how every game is in the afternoon outside at Ross Aid. It's always nice out. But, I mean, I could see it if Purdue's willing to improve their facilities to put in lights.
All right. Now, you said that you anticipate this game to be very close and exceptionally exciting. Purdue should be good and rested up for this game after the bye week, which I totally agree with. Notre Dame comes in with a patient offense but has problems with turnovers, and they absolutely do have problems with that. And quarterback Tommy Rees has 6 interceptions. You said they need to have a balanced offensive attack and force turnovers on the defense. How does Purdue go about doing that?
I think on offense, they just need to spread the ball out and not get too settled on one person making all the plays. I think with the running game with Ralph Bolden and Akeem Shavers, it needs to be pretty even there. And they've both done exceptionally well so far this season. And then on the passing game, I'd like to see Kerbush spread it out, get all the guys involved, get Justin Filler in, and Tavian Edison, Gary Bush, and tight end Crosby Wright in the action. I think they all have a very good chance to have big games.
Okay, Josh, do you have anything, a question regarding the Purdue-Notre Dame game for Evan?
Well, I totally agree, and I read Evan's blog pretty much every week. I did miss it the week of the Southeast Missouri State game. Evan, here's what I would do if I was Purdue. I would let maybe not even line Joe Holland up in any one position. Just tell Joe Holland his only job is to get to the football. And if I was Purdue, I would make sure that at the end of the night, Tommy Rees has nightmares about Joe Holland. And if they can accomplish that, then I think the Boilers have a great chance, especially with their running game, the ability to hit just about anybody at the wideout for a 20, 30-yard gain to win this game. So do you think Joe Holland can get to Rees for a couple of sacks on Saturday?
I do. I think Joe's a very talented player. There's been some problems among the linebackers covering the middle of the field, but I think that Holland could be effective getting to Rees, and we've all seen that Rees has had problems with turnovers. And some guys on the D-line, like Kawan Short and Bruce Gaston, I expect them to be able to get in the backfield and cause a lot of trouble for Rees and the Irish.
Okay, well, we're talking to Evan Williams. And one of the good things, and what I'd like to point out, why I like to talk to Evan and of course, Jimmy the intern, which will be on here in our next hour and talk with us about some IU football. And of course, we've got a super cold fan who's waiting on the line here. Our whole show and our whole premise is developed on the fans and the way that the real fans look at it. And I know that Super Colts fan, and I know that, Evan, you do a great job at portraying just the fans' view and not necessarily the media view, although I think that that's your aspirations to get into sports media. Is that your aspiration? Is that what you're working for?
That's possible. I'm not really sure yet on what I want to do, but I can see myself getting into it.
Well, that's the beauty of a liberal arts college, right? Just kidding with you there, buddy. I'm an IU grad. I had to get that jab in there. Hey, real quickly, and we're joined with us is a super Colts fan. And those of you that have not been downtown for a Colts game, I encourage you to go down there. And the guy that always leads us into the charge and do the stadium every week is Mr. Super Colts fan, and his wild costume gang of soldiers that just gets everybody together. So I know that you're with us. Evan, real quickly, before we let you go here, do you have any thoughts on the Colts and the situation with the Indianapolis Colts?
I mean, this is just really showing how big of a part of the team Peyton Manning is. It's tough to see. I'm a Bears fan, but Colts are a team I also follow pretty regularly. And it's tough to see that they're struggling like this without Peyton Manning.
Oh, absolutely. Well, it's. I'm so glad that you could join us, Evan. You're always welcome here. And when we get back, we're going to talk to Super Colts fan. We got Jimmy the intern standing by to talk some IU football with us. And Gary Snyder is going to be joining us soon to talk about the Notre Dame side of the Purdue-Notre Dame game. Evan, good luck to you, and thanks again for joining us, buddy.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Anytime. All right, guys, when we get back, we will talk with Super Colts fan about the Indianapolis Colts, and then we're going to jump right into Jimmy the intern, and we're going to talk about those IU Hoosiers. What is going on down there in Bloomington?
All right, you're listening to a rebroadcast of the Balance Gridiron that was originally broadcast on September 29th, 2011, between the hours of 7 to 9 p.m. So glad that you could join us today. We're not taking any calls, but we will resume normal programming next week as I travel down to West Lafayette for the Purdue-Notre Dame game as well. And it is also just so glad that we're getting more and more listeners every week. And it's because of you. You're spreading the word, and we really, really appreciate what you're doing to spread the word about the Balance and the Balance Gridiron. My name is Tom Marquis. I'm your host of the Balance Gridiron, obviously the Balance Wrap-Up, and the Balance Pep Rally. We've got a lot of exciting things coming up in the future, so make sure that you follow us on Twitter, stalk us on Facebook, and always check out everything that's going on our website, www.thebalanceonline.com. All right, We go back to the original broadcast of September the 29th, 2011, of the Balanced Gridiron.
38063, Marquee Solutions. Work with them today.
Number two of the Balanced Gridiron. My name is Tom Marquis, El Presidente, and right alongside me is Mr. Josh Elmore, the guy with his very own $2 jersey, Mr. $2 bill. Josh, how are we doing today?
I'm doing well. I'm excited to talk to Colts superfan. It's Brian, right? I see him at the game all the time, and I'm afraid to approach him because I don't know how he'd feel about that. But he always has a circle of people around him.
Right. We've got Super Colts fan Brian, and I do believe we also have Jimmy the intern with us. Jimmy, are you with us?
I am on the line and ready to go, Tom. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. All right. Well, let's get to Super Colts fan Brian. It is so good to have you along as usual. You lead the charge for the 12th man up. What does the 12th man have to do after such a disappointing and heartbreaking loss to the Pittsburgh Steelers on Sunday night?
And, you know, it was just amazing what our defense went through. And, you know, they stayed in the game the entire game and, you know, created the turnovers, got the touchdown. And, you know, they wanted that win so bad. And, you know, I'm actually, you know, I don't want to say this, you know, don't take this wrong way, but it's kind of, I think it was a good thing that Collins went out. I mean, you know, unfortunately he got hurt, but I think actually Painter is going to, you know, he went in there and he did decent, you know. I mean, we all expected Collins to go in there and do the same thing that he usually does, you know, go a little bit the way down the field and then, you know, just kind of just fade out there. And, you know, you start having a good drive and then just fade out. That's what he pretty much did the entire game. And, you know, Painter got in there, he actually had a decent drive. And I really think that this could be a surprise on Monday.
All right, so it's going to be an exciting game. And I tell you what, I made a very bold prediction, I think everybody heard it, is the fact that I thought that the Indianapolis Colts could beat the Pittsburgh Steelers. They almost put a win in the win column. I give the defense a grade A. I give Anger a total MVP, the balanced MVP as far as I'm concerned. What were your thoughts on the turnaround from the defense with the Colts, Brian?
You know, the defense just I can't believe the intensity that they came out with, and like you said, Pat Angro is just, you know, he was just all over the field, and you know, man, you know, It's a good thing we got him, you know, and he came in last year and did what he did, and we knew what kind of talent he had, because now he can come in and he's pretty much, you know, can be that leader on the field and, you know, take the place of, you know, Gary Brackett's leadership out there. But, I mean, you know, the defense, if they come out with that same intensity at Tampa Bay as they did with the Steelers, I mean, I think we'll see a first win of the season for sure.
Okay, Josh, you got any questions for Brian?
Well, Brian, I wanted to get your perspective. I know my perspective, the Pittsburgh Steelers fans after the game. I thought they were absolutely classless. And I'm a little bit upset they were able to get so many tickets. And I'm proud of Curtis Painter. I think the Colts fans need to support Curtis. But what did you think of the Steelers fans? I thought they were extremely classless after the game.
You know, it started all the night before. I mean, we were downtown, and me and Superfan Mike were downtown, and it seemed like, you know, after about 11 o'clock, you know, yeah, alcohol starts to set and everything, and they started pushing us around when we were downtown and stuff. And, you know, I got my hair pulled, and I took my friend with me that was a cop, and he almost got in a fight with somebody. Somebody tried to fight him, and it was just like, wow, you know. I've never experienced that with an away team. And then, you know, you're always going to get the ones that, you know, if they beat you, of course they're going to be arrogant. But it's like, you know what, we didn't have Peyton Manning. If we would have had Peyton Manning, we would have whooped you guys, you know. And, you know, they wanted, like you said, they were just completely classless. But I did meet a lot of them that were really nice and cool, you know, that, you know, I got pictures with me and stuff. And I actually, I was down at one of the bars earlier that day, hanging out with Pittsburgh Steelers fans, and we're just, you know, you gotta give them credit for traveling all that way, and anybody. That's why I tell everybody that comes out for a game, you know, you guys are from, you know, Cleveland or Pittsburgh or, you know, wherever they're from, you know, you guys are devoted fans just as much as I am. But and there's a lot of Steelers fans. I couldn't believe how many Steelers fans there was. And, you know, that's one thing that irks me, too, is, you know, 16-0, 0-16, you know, I'm there to the end, to the clock stops, hit zero, or, you know, whatever it is, you know, whatever the situation is, I'm not leaving that stadium until it's done. And, you know, it just seems like to me, you know, a lot of the Colts fans, you know, they're giving up. And if they're truly Colts fans, they would stick around. But you kind of got to understand too that, you know, they don't want to go see a losing team. And we've been spoiled for the last 10 years. You know, we've been in the playoffs every year. And, you know, we're the most spoiled fans in the NFL, probably, besides Patriots fans. And, you know, every year's playoffs, now look at us. You know, our key players out, and, you know, we're 0-3, and, you know, we're not a horrible team. It's just that one position is just killing us. And, you know, if we had a decent backup, then we would be in the situation. We might be 2-1 or 1-2 with some hope, but it's just, you know, it's frustrating. I can understand why the fans ain't showing up, but you know what? You know, I'm showing up to every game, and, you know, true Colts fans are going to show up to every game and support their team no matter what.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more. All right, we got time for one more question. Jimmy and the intern, you got any questions for Super Colts fan Brian?
I do have one question for you, Brian, and it just pertains to this next week against Tampa Bay. The Colts defense obviously stepped up big time, really slowed down Mendenhall, forced Roethlisberger into some mistakes. How likely is that's a one-time thing that they got up for, you know, the big home game on Sunday Night Football? Or do you think they'll be able to repeat that performance against Tampa Bay and Josh Freeman?
You know, that's hard to say. I would hope that I wouldn't sit here and say that they're going to repeat that, but what they did against the Steelers offense, you know, last Sunday, that was just incredible. I mean, I haven't seen that much effort in a long time. I mean, just they were playing right to the end, but. You know, we can't depend on the defense to go out there and score points and, you know, get a six because, you know, that's what our offense is for. But I'm going to make the bold prediction right now. Painter starts 300 yards. He's going to get 300 yards and we'll get the win.
Oh.
Well, there you go. That's the bold prediction of the week, guys. When we get right back, we're going to break down some IU football. Going to start the Big Ten. Pitt coming into Memorial Stadium down in Bloomington. Super Colts fan Brian, so glad that you could join us. We'll talk again next week. Hopefully, this time around, we'll be able to get a win on prime time. Thanks for joining us.
All right, you too. Talk to you later.
All right, guys, we are back. And welcome back to the Balanced Gridiron. My name is Tom Marquis, El Presidente. So glad that you could join us and be a part of the Balanced Gridiron. We've got a lot of stuff yet to talk about. One thing I do want to point out, though, that if you did lose our stream on Blog Talk Radio, never fear. You can still catch everything on the website or on iTunes. We knew we would probably lose our stream around 8 o'clock on Blog Talk, but that's okay. Shoutcast, all of our other Internet affiliates and our radio station affiliates and stuff, we're good to go. Plus, again, you'll be able to hear the show fully in its entirety on the website, and we're going to rebroadcast this Saturday morning between 9 and 11, so you guys aren't missing anything but the live burps from $2 Bill Josh. All right. Speaking of things that just really, what in the world happened to Indiana University? Jimmy the intern, I know you and I have talked about this on the Gary Snyder Show, but most definitely want to talk about it today. Break it down for us. Unleash the inner beast. What happened to the Indiana Hoosiers last week?
I'm not going to lie, Tom. I'm still doing a little bit of soul searching right now. I'm not totally sure what happened, but I'll do my best to explain it to you and your audience. Most of whom hopefully were lucky enough to not watch it on ESPN3. Because I did. I watched the entire game start to finish, beginning to end in Denton, Texas. And it, just everything from the get-go that could go wrong for IU did go wrong. North Texas made some mistakes early. They botched a field goal, and then Lance Dunbar, their star running back, had a couple fumbles, turned it right back over to IU. IU's offense did nothing all day, all game long. And North Texas, before they had those three miscues, were moving the ball just fine. And after they figured out how to hold on to the ball, they kept moving it just fine. Dunbar was the guy I talked about, I believe, on your show last week, as the one guy who would really be dangerous for IU if they couldn't contain him. And he absolutely went off. He had those fumbles, which was a problem, but he also had almost 300 yards all-purpose. He dominated IU in every facet of the game, out of the backfield, catching passes from Thompson, the quarterback. And there was just nothing that IU could do to answer. It was 21-0 at halftime for one of the worst Sun Belt teams in the conference against IU, a team that was expected to really beat up on them. The final score was pretty respectable, 24-21. It looked a lot closer than it was. The touchdowns that IU scored late, the two thrown by Dusty Keel, were both results of blown coverages, one a result of a defender literally bending down and tying his shoe on the play. Keel paid attention, good job, but all he did was do a couple pitches and catches when the game was, for all effects, out of reach. My takeaways was that the offense was awful. Ed Wright Baker, I don't believe he threw a touchdown pass. Wasn't all that effective leading the offense. The defense was miserable. North Texas ran on them at will. And just overall, there's a pretty palpable lack of energy from the IU football team, which is probably the most disturbing thing that I saw in that game.
Okay, Josh, your turn.
Jimmy was a whole lot nicer about on IU than I'm about to be. I think what happened on Saturday night is a lack of intensity, a lack of desire, a lack of discipline, a lack of coaching, a lack of talent. I'm a huge IU fan. I watch every single game. I, like Jimmy, watched that game on ESPN3. Indiana University.
I'm sorry.
They came out flat. They came out uninspired. Kevin Wilson seemed like he thought he was at the beach, or I don't know where Kevin Wilson thought he was. He's a nice enough guy. He's supposed to have this high-intensity, high motor. Can he give some of this to his team? I think they're the least inspiring team to watch in America, and if they don't get better, they're not only going to go 1-11, they're going to get blown out 8 straight weeks.
Jimmy, go ahead.
Well, there's not a whole lot there that I can disagree with. Definitely Wilson on the sideline was doing some coaching, but at some point the kids need to step up and translate the coaching to on-the-field play. Now, Wilson was incensed noticeably at the press conference that he had this Tuesday, just addressing the way that they lost that game. IU obviously didn't have the energy, and we noticed, you noticed that from the get-go. I noticed it from the get-go. Most IU fans noticed it from the get-go. There are people I know who are watching the game at Kilroy's and down here in Bloomington, and they switched it over to the UFC fight in the third quarter, if that tells you anything. But you're right. This is a totally uninspiring effort, although I don't know if I would put that on the coaching staff. I think the coaching staff is doing what they can with what they have. And a lot of the blame has to lie with the players. A lot of blame has to lie with the guys who are supposed to go out there on the field and contribute and just fell short of their responsibilities on Saturday.
Okay, are you with us, Gary?
I am.
Okay. All right, we've got Gary Snyder on the line with us. I conferenced you in through Skype. It actually worked. But in the process, I pulled a Gary Snyder, and I dropped Josh. but I'm going to try to get Josh back. We lost our stream, unfortunately, with Blog Talk Radio, and we're just talking to Jimmy the intern about IU's game. While I try to get Josh connected back with us, Gary, do you have any questions for Jimmy the intern?
About IU football coming up this weekend. Are the Hoosiers going to be able to bounce back after that, just horrific defeat at the hands of North Texas?
I think they're going to try. I have it on good authority that they will at least take the field against Penn State. From there on forward, I have no idea what this team is going to do. Mostly because IU has been such an inconsistent group so far this year.
Oh, you reached out for all more personal stuff, but I'm currently unavailable to take your call at the moment. So please leave your name, number, and a brief and detailed message. And I'm
all right. Are we there, guys?
We're all here.
All right. We're still good. This technology is overwhelming. I now feel like what Gary Snyder feels like. So go ahead, guys. I want to keep trying because Josh is texting me, so that's probably why he's not answering. This is great. Go ahead, guys.
Well, like I was saying, just finishing up on that thought, the fact that IU's been inconsistent as they are has been kind of worrisome. I think they'll bounce back to a degree. They'll definitely play harder because I think the biggest issue is they've had trouble getting up for the smaller teams. They're in Big Ten play now. And that's not going to be an issue. I actually talked to Doug Mallory about this during the week. The co-defensive coordinator told him about some things that the players had said. The past couple weeks, we've had signature players on defense come out and say that maybe they took North Texas for granted a little bit. Maybe they didn't get up as much for South Carolina State as they should have. Mallory looks at me and he's like, well, if that's what they're saying, then that's a problem. Because right now we're not talented enough to think we can go out there and line up against some other team and deliver. And that's the truth. They shouldn't have that problem this week against Penn State, and they should at least come out and play hard.
If you can't get up to play a Big Ten opener and a team like Penn State, then you really have no reason playing football.
Yeah. And I absolutely agree with you. Go ahead, Jimmy. Go right ahead.
Well, I was going to tell you something else, that if IU does indeed get up for this game, Penn State, they're a very talented defensive team. They're very good on defense, held Alabama to 27 points. Their offense has been pretty horrific at times, actually, this year. Matt McGloin and Ralph Bolden have been the two guys that have been starting running out there at quarterback. And neither of them has looked all that great. They've only thrown one more touchdown than interception on the year. Now, we're talking about an IU defense that hasn't done particularly well either this year. But if they replicate the effort they put out there against Virginia, then I wouldn't be surprised to see this a close game at the half and maybe even going down to the wire. I wouldn't be surprised if IU came out here and actually gave Penn State a game.
Okay, Josh, are you with us?
Yes, I'm back. Sorry, we had some technical difficulties.
We sure did. When we lost our stream, we lost everything. But I tell you what, I've learned from Gary Snyder, the show must go on. So I'll tell you, I apologize about the unprofessional phone ringing, but we are all together on the same thing. I've got my switchboard working again. It's just that when I lost my stream, I lost my switchboard, and I had to conference everybody in because it wasn't letting you call back because they thought that the show was over, which, in fact, that it's not. But that's okay. We're good to go. All right, guys. All right, Josh, I know you were just missing what Jimmy the intern was breaking down with Pitt and how Gary thinks that really you should be able to beat Pitt. So, Jimmy, go ahead and finish, and then, Josh, we want your thoughts on this Pitt-IU game as well.
Well, I don't know if I feel comfortable saying that IU can go out and beat Penn State, but it's not something where Penn State has been overly impressive this season. Now, obviously, neither is IU. IU's been probably the most underwhelming team in the conference, and I'd say that by a wide margin. But most of their problem, honestly, and that's a problem with the kids, it's a problem with the coaching staff, it's a problem with the entire team, has been that they haven't been able to get up for games. But this is a game they should be able to get up for. Home opener in Bloomington. Hopefully the fans show up, don't leave before halftime to go drink at Kilroy's or whatever they do after they leave. But I wouldn't be surprised to at least see this competitive. I think IU will lose because Penn State's just a better team. They have a very good defense, strong running back. But overall, I think that they have a pretty good chance to keep it relatively close, at least through the first half.
Go ahead, Josh.
I would absolutely agree. And here's the thing. If we're behind in the fourth quarter of this Penn State game, we're even the third quarter behind significantly, and there's a good possibility that we could. I know Trey Robinson's maybe Roberson's maybe not ready yet. How else is he going to get ready if he never sees the field? We know what Edward Wright breaks, and that's solid play. Very, very, very inconsistent. Dusty Keel after last week. I've seen him all season. I'm on Jimmy's bandwagon. Why is he ever on the football field? Ever. He should be selling popcorn up in the upper stands or cleaning the locker room floor or something, but we need to see Trey on the field and at least see what he's capable of. Maybe he'll get the offense fired up.
Go ahead, Jimmy. Got any comments on that?
Well, yeah, Kevin Wilson actually addressed that during the week, talking about how he wanted to get Trey Roberson a few more reps, a few more looks in game during game time. He was hoping, I think, that IU would maybe run up a few more points and give him a chance to maybe get in the game. That obviously did not happen. But I would not be surprised to see Roberson get a little bit more time. He obviously doesn't want Wright Baker looking over his shoulder. But for all the hype about Dusty Keel in the IU fan base after the two touchdowns he threw at the end of that North Texas game, Wilson pretty much just he dismissed that, as I was really happy to hear, because I've made it clear on this show that I'm not a big fan of the idea of Dusty Keel as the IU starting quarterback, just from what I've seen. Wilson made it clear that he's of the same opinion, barring some horrendous setback with Wright Baker. But like I was saying, Wright Baker will probably get a lot of the time. Keel might get some time if he's very, very ineffective. But I think we'll see Roberson probably in the same capacity that we've seen him early, maybe a little bit more. And we'll see his role continue to increase as the season goes on. Wilson has been really complimentary. He's been really complimentary of what Roberson can bring to this team.
Well, and also on the flip side of the coin there, Penn State's had their own quarterback issues as well. Have you had a chance to look at Penn State and the Nittany Lions and look at their quarterbacks or receivers? I know that they've got a good guy out there, McGloin. What are your thoughts about Penn State and what they've got to bring to IU?
Actually, yeah, I'm going to be sending the preview for this game over to Gary later tonight. I'm just going to put the finishing touches on it. But the X factor that I'm putting in for this game is a wide receiver they have, a senior 6'5 receiver named Derek Moye. Because the fact that he is such a better quality caliber of receiver than the other guys that they have is going to be huge for that passing attack. They've been pretty one-dimensional so far this year. McGloin's been okay. Bolden really hasn't, but Paterno hasn't been happy really with either of them. He made clear that he's going to play both of them in this game against IU. And I'm not sure who's starting, not sure who's playing how much time, but we're going to see both of them. They've got a pretty solid running game. Paterno's not exactly happy with it. He thinks they can get more out of that running game. But if IU's able to take away Derek Moye through some miracle, he's Penn State's biggest threat, both in short and down the field. He has not had a game yet this season where he hasn't recorded a catch over 20 yards. If IU's able to take him away or at least limit him and what they can do, how they get him the ball, that could be huge in IU's chances of keeping this game close.
All right, Gary, you got any final thoughts about this IU-Penn State game?
Just looking forward to reading Jimmy's IU game preview.
You know what he means, Gary, by when he says he has to put on the finishing touches? That means as soon as I get off here, holy crap, I've got to get this done. That's college code for putting on finishing touches.
Is that what it is?
don't besmirch my college kind. I'm a hard worker. I've got a work ethic, I tell you.
I believe you. I believe you. All right, guys. When we get back, we're going to talk in. And certainly, Jimmy, you're more than welcome to hang around with us. But we are definitely going to talk about this Notre Dame game. And, Gary, I know we had a great guest on the Gary Snyder Show today. I'll let you talk about that. And we're going to break this game down by the numbers on this Purdue. We had Evan, just a really good blogger from Purdue, and he's a college student down there, much like Jimmy the intern, and just breaks it down from the perspective of the Purdue student and the Purdue fan. And so really it's going to be an exciting game, and like was said on your show today, you know, this is the Super Bowl for all intents and purposes for Purdue. So when we get back, we're going to break down by the numbers the Irish and the Boilermakers Saturday night right here on the Balanced Gridiron. You're listening to the rebroadcast of the Balanced Gridiron from September 29th, Thursday, September 29th, from the hours of 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Typically, we run one live show a week, and one live two-hour show a week, I should say, and then every day we do the wrap-up. So make sure you check back with us here on the Balance, and you can also follow everything on the Balance, www.thebalanceonline.com. I am your host, El Presidente of the Balance Gridiron, the Balance Wrap-Up, and the Balance Pep Rally. Make sure you stalk us on Facebook. Just search The Balance on Facebook and become a fan. And then you can also follow us on Twitter on TBalance. Always good to have on today's show. We've got Jimmy the intern from down at Indiana University and Gary Snyder from the Gary Snyder Show breaking down the IU Penn State game coming up here today. Also, we've got the breakdown of the Purdue-Notre Dame game coming up tonight, and that's coming up next. You're listening to the rebroadcast of the Balanced Gridiron from September 29th between the hours of 7 p.m. and 9 p.m.
Always there to help you navigate through the complexities of social media. Call Marquee Solutions today, 317-903-8063. That's 317-903-8063. Marquee Solutions. Work with them today.
I do want to, because, I'm getting all these tweets and saying, where you at? What happened to you? I realize a lot of you guys have become spoiled by Blog Talk Radio because it's so easy to go to and find us. But we're out there. You can still get to us through our shoutcast and through our other internet avenues that we have. But I promise you guys, when you go back and listen to this show about 10 o'clock Eastern, you'll be able to get everything on the full show. We just lost our stream. And I was afraid that was going to happen. But anyway, that's the beauty of radio. We continue to move on, and you guys have not missed a beat. Just go to the archives, www.thebalanceonline.com, and you'll be able to hear the full show and also the breakdown by the numbers, which is about to happen right now, right after I talk about our brand new sponsor on the Balanced Gridiron. Dominion Home Builders of Indiana. I'll tell you what, if you guys have a leaky roof, some storm damage, what else will they do, Gary? They will do just about anything for you. Isn't that right? Because they're on your show too as well.
That's correct.
That's code. That's radio code for I lost the script, and I'm looking for the email that I sent you so that I can go back and read the script. That's
you
code
that
when I go
to give you code to say, hey, have the script ready.
We'll get to it, guys, and I promise you, our new sponsors, Dominion Home Builders of Indiana, they are
all right. Winter is rapidly approaching and time is running out to get that much-needed work done on your home. Got a leaky roof or storm damage? Call Dominion Home Builders at 317-526-1000. 523-8414. Dominion Home Builders is an honest, top-notch general contractor serving central Indiana. Call them today, 317-523-8414. That's 317-523-8414 or online at dhbindiana.com. Dominion Home Builders, structurally sound, distinguished by excellence.
Which is
one of the funny things, Gary. Tom has to see the owner of Dominion Homes at church this Sunday, and I'm pretty sure he's going to tune in Saturday to see what he saved the day.
And that's right. Gary Snyder saves the day yet again. That is a good thing about having a sponsor that goes to church with you. They can't beat you up. That's just the rules. All right.
Gary
with
a pretty strong relief appearance out of the bullpen there. That was pretty nice. I'm impressed.
That's right. Thank goodness. I have a strong closer. That's much more than we can say for the Boston Red Sox. But we'll get into that at another point. Right now, we want to certainly break down by the numbers. Notre Dame against Purdue. Myself and Gary Snyder will be up there for that game on the Gary Snyder press credentials, which gets you access to the Boilermaker Suite Buffet. And it is pretty sweet, so I'm anxious to see what kind of spread that they put on.
Now,
or
we will have photographer Jeff with us, too. So,
oh, and photographer Jeff as well.
We're putting three credentials to use on this.
It's big. It's the biggest game Purdue will face this weekend, I promise you. All right, guys, we're going to break this down. It's a big game. Notre Dame, Purdue, a lot of hype, or is this really a big game, Gary?
No, I think for Notre Dame, it's a big game, trying to carry on the momentum that they've had from their two wins after the 0-2 start. Purdue sitting there at 2-1, you know, and we talked to Don Kroenke a little earlier today, and he nailed this, that, you know, he seems to think that it's maybe a little more important to Purdue than to Notre Dame, because Notre Dame plays these teams all the time. This is Notre Dame's Super Bowl, or this is Purdue's Super Bowl. It doesn't get any bigger than this for Purdue. And so, you know, they're playing at home. This is a big game for them, and we'll see how Pierre Bush and the Boilers come out and play against what's turning out to be a very tight and a very tough Notre Dame defense, if you can get past the jump balls and defensive backs adjusting to the ball in the air. But it should be an interesting game.
Josh, you got anything for Gary?
Well, I agree this is maybe a bit more important for Purdue, which is why earlier in the show, and I'm going to reiterate it now, Purdue's going to win this game by 2 touchdowns, at least, and there's several reasons why. Ryan Kelly doesn't seem to like Dane Chris. I think he hates Dane Chris. He almost wishes he'd graduate and be out of his hair. He doesn't really seem to like Tommy Rees either. Tommy Rees has a tendency to turn the football over. They're at Purdue. Notre Dame struggled. Yeah, they won the last 2 games. They haven't been inspiring in either one, maybe in the Michigan State game. And more importantly, I think Danny Hope's job could be on the line in this game. So I'm going to go ahead and predict Purdue to win this game, 35-21.
Gary, and your response?
I would say that I don't think Purdue has a chance to score 21 points, nevertheless, the 35. They haven't shown to be a very strong defensive team or a very strong offensive team. Pierre Bush has not had the shown the ability to throw the ball at all. Most of Purdue's offense comes on the run. Notre Dame is very tough at stopping that run. It's going to be a nice, cool, crisp, cool night at Ross-Ade on Saturday night. And I just think Notre Dame steps up. This is a big game for them. Gets them back above 500. And as Don Kroenke said today, there's no reason why they can't run the table and still make a BCS game. And I think Brian Kelly has that just drilled into their heads right now.
And, Jimmy, do you have anything for our almighty Notre Dame extraordinaire, Mr. Gary Snyder.
Well, Gary, I was just going to ask, you're just talking about how Purdue has the trouble moving the ball and Notre Dame is really good at that, you know, stopping the run on defense. I tend to agree with you that Notre Dame shouldn't have much of a problem with Purdue just because of how much more talented they are. But have you seen anything the past couple games that, you know, maybe gives you a little confidence that they can avoid turning the ball over? Because Reese, before that 8-for-8 on that final drive against Pittsburgh, he looked reprehensible in that game. He looked awful. He didn't look like a starting quarterback. And quite honestly, I would have felt better if I'm a Notre Dame fan having Ed Wright Baker out there than Tommy Reese. Reese right now looks like he might be the weakest to this Notre Dame offense. I want to know if you agree.
You know, I would give it to you that maybe Reese was not at his best against Pitt. That was an early game. That's 3 hours before probably any Notre Dame student's ever been up before on a Saturday, let alone play a football game. You know, and Don Crookie told us a little earlier today, they're getting better at not turning it over. They only had two turnovers last game against Pitt, so that's a huge improvement. And it's definitely a downtrend. Hopefully Brian Kelly and the coaching staff have that taken care of. And Tommy Reese will come out and play with you know, the abilities that he's been given. And, you know, as Don Crookie told us today, you know, he is 6-1 as a starter.
Okay, well, Notre Dame is coming off a pretty close win. Certainly wasn't their prettiest win, 15-12 against Pitt last Sunday. Like I said, it was anything but pretty, but it was certainly a must-win game. And they did get that win, and there is a win in the win column. On the other side of the coin there, Purdue is coming off of a whopping 59-0 victory, and I was there at that game, and I actually began to feel sorry for Southeast Missouri State. But the Boilermakers will be facing a much bigger test this Saturday against the Notre Dame Fighting Irish. And, again, they're ranked right there with Tulsa, as we talked about on your show, as the most in turnovers. But here's the thing. Notre Dame's offense, I think, is considered to be its strongest asset. It certainly has its moments, but when all the cylinders are clicking, the turnovers kind of get pushed off to the side, and somehow – some way, quarterback Tommy Reese has been able to win games for them, and he turned the ball over twice last week against Pitt, and he'll probably, with his inexperience, like we talked about on your show, he's still growing, he's still learning. Reese's inexperience is slowing down the Irish's offense. Do you think, Gary, that Purdue is going to take advantage of the inexperience that Tommy Reese has?
No, I don't think so. And I keep going back to my interview, our interview with Don Crookie a little earlier today, the radio voice of Notre Dame football. Keep in mind, Tommy Reese is still a 19-year-old kid playing on national television every weekend. And to be a 19-year-old kid playing for Notre Dame on national television every weekend, you'd be amazed at the poise that the kid has shown. Sure, there's been some turnovers, but, you know, as the season's gone along, those seem to be diminishing a little bit. And, you know, one thing that Notre Dame has not had any problems doing against any team that they played so far this season, and that's moving the ball. And I don't think that they'll have any problem on with this Purdue defense either.
Okay, guys, before we let it go, we certainly want to get our predictions for the scores and so that we can go back and brag about it later on. So one of you guys are going to have to write this down, Josh or Gary. But, Gary, what is your prediction for the game as far as final score?
31-14, Notre Dame.
Josh?
I'm sticking with Purdue 35, Notre Dame 21.
And what about you, Jimmy?
I'll go 35-14. I'm pretty confident in Notre Dame's ability to destroy Purdue this week?
Yeah, and I think this is going to be a tough road game for Notre Dame. I really do. And I think it's a very tough crowd. Like I said, I've been up there this year. They're an excited crowd, and they're certainly always pumped when Notre Dame comes to town. I could see some of what Josh has said, and here's the thing. If Notre Dame can come out and be a physical team and play the type of game that they could play and keep the turnovers down, I think that Notre Dame could win. So I'm going to put Josh out there in the road all by himself on this particular game. I'm going to pick Notre Dame 27, Purdue 17. So there we go. It looks like the Irish have got a lot to live up to. They've got Gary Snyder, El Presidente, and Jimmy the intern saying, you got to win this game. It's a must-win game.
I got a question for Gary real quick.
Gary, quick, I'm having new carpet put in the morning, so I have to tear my whole one up tonight.
I just wanted to see, do you think Skip Holtz, who I believe spent some time, he played at Notre Dame, I believe he also was an assistant there, do you think he's going to be in South Florida long, or do you think he's headed for a big-time program?
Well, you know, like most of those smaller programs, you know, they're basically just training ground for bigger programs. I think with the success Skip Holtz is having, the name behind, you know, his surname there, I don't think that, you know, with this season and maybe another season of success, he'll be at a big-time program or at least in the bigger conferences, maybe with a school that maybe, you know, isn't a top level. You know how the coaching carousel moves. You usually go from a mid-major to, you know, maybe an SEC or a Big Ten lower echelon team, and then you just work your way up. And that's my guess is what will happen there.
So the wife finally lets you get some new carpet, honey. Is that, was that the choice you had to make instead of your brand-new TV?
No, that's not the choice, but we have to get the carpet torn up because they'll be here at 7:30 in the morning, and I will add it is layman's floor covering. author, that is laying the carpet in the morning.
So,
hey, Gary,
so the
ask,
layman? Go ahead, guys, we've got to let it go, but go ahead, Jimmy.
I got to ask you one question. Is the carpet going to match the drapes in your house, or, like, how's that going to work?
You know, that's way beyond my control. I just.
So you're not sure if the carpet will match the drape?
I'm not sure. I'm sure it will.
All right. All right, guys, we're going to go to a break. And we get back, myself and $2 Bill Josh and Jimmy, if you want to stay around, we're going to break down our game of the week, Wisconsin and Nebraska. Great big Ten game we're going to break down. And Josh, if we lose you, we'll reconnect with you when Gary disconnects. Gary, as always, it's a privilege to have you here on the Balanced Gridiron. I think he's already gone. All right, you're listening to a rebroadcast of the Balanced Gridiron, September 29, 2011, between the hours of 7 p.m. and 9 p.m. Myself, Jimmy the intern, Gary Snyder, among many others, and of course my faithful co-host, Mr. $2 Bill Josh, talked a lot of football, and we're getting ready to break down the Wisconsin-Nebraska game. This is the first season of Nebraska being in the Big Ten, and it is the very first Big Ten game in the Big Ten thing, so it's a huge game. Wisconsin Badgers against the Nebraska Cornhuskers. It's going to be a great game. And so this was our breakdown of that game. I hope you've enjoyed this rebroadcast of the Balanced Gridiron. Remember, you can go to our website, www.thebalanceonline.com. You can stalk us on Facebook. Just search The Balance. You can also follow us on Twitter, capital T, capital B, and then the rest of the word balance. Very easy to find. All over the internet, and so glad that you're joining us here for the rebroadcast of the Balanced Gridiron right here on Blog Talk Radio. The Balanced Gridiron all over the United States. So glad that you could join us right here. I would normally insert Blog Talk Radio, but Blog Talk Radio listeners aren't listening to us on their stream anymore. But hey, once you're going back and you're listening to the archives, You are listening to The Balanced Gridiron. We've had a great show today. Certainly want to thank everybody that's joined us. Axel joined us for the fantasy football huddle. Jimmy the intern here. Super Colts fan. Gary Snyder. All here to make your world better informed when it comes to sports. Guys, real quickly, we want to talk about Wisconsin, Nebraska, Big Ten, big game. Game of the week across the board. I don't care where you're at, what you're doing. That's a must-watch game. Welcome to the Big Ten, Nebraska. Jimmy, we start with you. What are the keys to this game?
Well, I'll make this reasonably quick, just because these are two teams that are going to do all their talking on the field. I don't want to let them get away from that too much. Both these guys like to do about the same thing. Like to run the ball, they like to play defense, and they like to hit people up front. And it's going to come down to that. And what I like about Wisconsin more than Nebraska, they're playing in Camp Randall, which is notoriously tricky to go into and play as a road team. Wisconsin's got Russell Wilson, their transfer senior quarterback from North Carolina State, who's been outstanding so far in the early going. Then in the backfield, they got Monty Ball. Those guys running the ball back there are going to be pretty solid. They've got the big, in Coach Bielema's words, the big Eastern European descended guys, big Northern European guys who like to go out there and hit somebody. And I think that's what it's going to come down to. Wisconsin grading the road, making plenty of room for Monty Ball to run through, and Russell Wilson's going to make enough plays to send Wisconsin home with a win.
Well, and that sounds like I'm excited to watch this game. I saw the very first Nebraska Big Ten game. Nebraska's a great football team, always been a personal favorite of mine, always been a great team to watch. And, you know, there's a lot of switching around and shaking and baking in the NCAA football arena right now, so a lot of changing of divisions and so forth, and we want to stay on point. We'll get to that another time, but I always am excited to see Nebraska. I think this is going to be a great game. Josh, I know you've been waiting to break this down all week long, so what are your thoughts and keys to the game on the Badgers and Cornhuskers?
I think you got the two best coaches in the Big Ten, no offense to Joe Paterno. He has the most wins from any Division I head coach ever. But I believe time has started to pass him by a little bit. Well, Pelini and Brett Bielema, hopefully I said his name right, are two young coaches, probably the two best coaches in the Big Ten. They're two hard-hitting, nasty defenses. Wisconsin's been a bit better on the defense side of the ball than Nebraska has been so far this year. I think Wisconsin fans need to write a thank you card, send some money, buy the North Carolina State team some pizza, do something. Because if they can beat Nebraska on Saturday, the North Carolina State probably delivered the national title to Wisconsin in the form of Russell Wilson. Nebraska can't really throw the ball. So if Wisconsin can get up 17 points, 14 points, and make Nebraska throw the football, I'm not sure Taylor Martinez can do it. Now, he can run with the best running back, quarterback in the country, and so can Lance Burkhead. But like Jimmy said, they're two mere images of each other, which is kind of weird, because Bielema, who plays Barry Alvarez, who happened to play in Nebraska. I think today it's going to be Wisconsin 42, Nebraska 35.
Well, and I, it's going to be one of those close games. That's absolutely for sure. And I'm excited to see this game. I mean, Wisconsin and Nebraska, obviously they have they both have red and white uniforms, so they have a lot in common. But they both have brand new to the Big Ten and great football dynasties in their own right. The both of them, and it's going to be an exciting time to see Nebraska come in, and I think Nebraska is just one of those teams that have it in them to go too deep into the bowl game predictions. And I think Nebraska can absolutely win this, and I agree 100% with Jimmy when he said that let the talking be done on the field. In fact, there's a lot of big games going on this weekend, so we want to make sure that you guys follow those and certainly break it down for us. And we're always interested to hear from you. So if you've got a question or a comment, you can certainly comment on our website, www.thebalanceonline.com, or follow us on Facebook, T Balance, or Twitter, T Balance, and stalk us on Facebook, as Gary would say. Just search The Balance. All right, in our last few minutes here, guys, we have probably shaping up in the MLB one of the best playoff series that we've seen in a long, long time. And like I said at the very beginning of the show, wow. The Braves are out. The Red Sox are out. The Cardinals are in. And Tampa Bay is in. So, Jimmy, the intern, we'll start with you. Did you get a chance to watch any of this MLB playoff picture come together?
Not only did I get to watch any of it, I got to watch all of it. Last night was one of the best nights of baseball I can remember. I got to sleep at about 2 o'clock, and I don't regret a second of it. It was outstanding. I don't know if the playoffs are going to be able to live up to the kind of games that were played last night, but quite frankly, I don't care. I got my baseball fix for the fall. I'll tell you that much right now.
Oh, absolutely. What a fantastic game. The walk-off home runs. Well, I mean, it had a little bit of everything in 5 hours of baseball. And I'm a diehard Cardinal fan. Love to see my Cardinals get in to the playoffs. And again, it always seems to come down to the end of the season where it's either going to be the Cardinals or the Braves in some sort of combination or another in the National League wild card playoff position. So, Josh, I know we couldn't get you on Gary's show earlier. I know you're a diehard Red Sox fan, so I'm going to ask you, what the hell? What happened with them?
I think it came down to chemistry problems. Carl Crawford was an absolute waste of $172 million. In fact, he should probably give us back his salary and walk out of Boston, not even take the airplane, just walk out of the city, go back to Tampa Bay. If they want him back, let's trade him back. But you know what? I'm happy for Joe Maddon and the Tampa Bay Rays. Red Sox have $172 million payroll. It's heartbreaking to see him miss the playoffs for the second straight year. Joe Maddon's one of the nicest guys. You don't hear too much out of him, but if you do, he's usually telling a joke. But they have $41 million. It's not like they backdoored into the playoffs. They earned the right to be there. They have every right to be there. And I'm happy for him. And by the way, I told you the Cardinals would be in the playoffs, and I also told you they'd win the World Series.
Well, and I tell you what, they've got an opportunity to do that. Obviously, they're going to be fighting uphill. So real quickly, I want to go through these teams real quickly, guys. Just give me your thoughts and your predictions on Game 1. Starts tomorrow afternoon, 5:07 p.m., Tampa Bay against a very, very good Texas Rangers, and you've heard me talk about it on this show early on in the season. In my blogs, you've also heard me talk about the Rangers. The Rangers are a team to beat, a team to contend with, and in my humble opinion, they're a team that we're going to see in the final two in the World Series. Jimmy, what are your thoughts, Tampa Bay and the Rangers?
Well, I'll make it pretty quick because I got to get out of here pretty soon. I got to get upstairs. But right now, when I'm looking at these two teams, Tampa and the Rangers, Tampa's a really good story, and they definitely have a good amount of star power for the amount of money they're paying. Matt Moore is an outstanding pitcher. David Price is outstanding in the lineup. Evan Longoria had himself a game last night, didn't he? And Desmond Jennings, another solid player. They've got a pretty solid lineup. They've got good starting pitching. But I don't know how well they match up against the Rangers, and I'd be inclined to take Texas, regardless of the kind of momentum Tampa Bay has going forward.
All right. Well, since you had to go, we'll go ahead and just give us your picks real quick between Detroit and New York, St. Louis and Philadelphia, and Arizona and Milwaukee.
Quite honestly, I like the Yankees moving forward. I like the Rangers getting to the World Series. I agree with you there. And as far as the National League, I like the Phillies. It doesn't matter who they're playing, their rotation is that good. When you can run Roy Halladay, Cliff Lee, Cole Hamels, and Roy Oswalt out for four consecutive starts, you've got something going pretty good there.
All right, you've been listening to The Balance Gridiron, rebroadcast from
September 29, 2011. I'm so glad that you could join us today. We're out of time. You can catch the rest of the show and the entire broadcast on iTunes. You can download from iTunes or on our website, www.thebalanceonline.com. You can also stalk us on Facebook. Just search The Balance, Twitter, capital T, capital B, and the rest of the word balance. You can also Google us. You can find us just about anywhere on the internet. So glad that you could join us right here on Blog Talk Radio. We do this every day. We'll talk to you Monday evening, 6 o'clock Eastern, right here on Blog Talk Radio. We're going to break down the last 24 hours of the NFL. Have yourself a great weekend. My name is Tom Marquis, El Presidente.